So I've been reading this particular scripture for quite a few years now, and what it hadn't dawned on me as I was reading it is where Isaiah had the vision. When Isaiah had this vision and this manifestation of God, this mystical moment, he had it in the temple in Jerusalem. If you listened very carefully to the words that were written down, his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah was there in the temple of Israel. God was in the Holy of Holies, which is that place that was reserved only for the high priest. And God became visible to Isaiah. So I want us to imagine here that God was right here, right here, right now. God filled the temple so that his robe was overflowing down the aisles and out. And that when the seraphs were around him and began to sing the same hymn we just sang, the temple shook. That was the vision that Isaiah had. And Isaiah, there in that place where only the high priest could go after he had done the atonement of sin, so he was cleansed of sin, he hadn't done that. He was still unclean. And there was God. There was God coming to an unclean man. So that was his first response. I've got unclean lips. I live amongst a people of unclean lips. We have not come to offer our sacrifice for atonement. And God allowed him to be cleansed. Now, I don't know what all of you did at that moment when the hot coal touched his lips. But my first thought was, oh my goodness, he's going to have blisters there. You know, how can you even speak after a hot coal has touched your lips? Sort of like when you get that really good food out of the oven and you scoop and you eat when you shouldn't and it touches. But this did not burn, this cleansed. It was a cleansing fire that cleansed Isaiah. When God calls us, God cleanses us. God prepares us. But a lot of us are more like Nicodemus when God calls us. We want to know the answers. We want to truly understand before we'll say yes. And did you notice that when God called Isaiah, God said, "Whom shall I send?" Okay, Isaiah's standing in front of him. No one else. Isaiah, "Whom shall I send?" Send me? Yeah, send me. I even got a hand up there. Whom shall I send? And yep, send me. Send me. Why did God put it in the "whom shall I send"? Because we're never voluntold to go into God's service. You might be voluntold to go into Carolyn's service. Leo will tell you many instances where he's been voluntold. I have youth workers who can tell me when they've been voluntold. But God won't do that. You've got to volunteer. So the "whom shall I send" offered that opportunity for Isaiah to say, "Here I am, send me." Now, if you had God appear here, if we had God appear as he appeared to Isaiah, could you say no? Could you say no after you had had that mystic revelation of God? Could you honestly say no? If we can believe that God, as Isaiah saw him, appeared, what can we also believe that God can do in the world? But this is the catch. There's always a catch. When God says, "Whom shall I send?" and we say, "Here I am, send me," sometimes as soon as we say that, we get to find out where we're going. Because remember, he said, "Send me," before God told him. It's A little bit like the appointment process. We agree to itinerate. So when the bishop calls, we say yes before we find out where we're going. And then they say, well, there's this place in Kittrell called Plank Chapel. And then we come. So this is what he said, the go. And he says, and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed. You don't want them to turn and be healed. Then he said, how long, O Lord? And he said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away, and vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a tenebrith or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. That's the first word Isaiah is told to tell people once he says, here I am, send me. He's been told to go tell the people of Judah that they're going to be laid waste to. Everything's going to be desolate. They're going to be carried away. Don't you really want to be a prophet? Can you imagine Isaiah at that point was going, can I say no? Can I change my mind? What was happening in the year that King Uzziah died? What was happening was that Israel and Judah were two separate nations. Judah is where Jerusalem was. Israel was the upper nation. Israel was telling Judah not to align with Assyria, but all these other countries were coming to take over Judah. God wanted them to have faith that God could make this happen, that God could keep Judah and Jerusalem whole. But the kings chose to get the nation with the biggest guns to go against Israel, who had bigger guns. And eventually everybody was taken off into exile because they lacked the faith that God could do what God promised to do. When you get called, when God calls us, he doesn't call us to easy tasks. He called Jonah to go to those Ninevites, those horrible, rotten Ninevites that everybody hated. Jonah wanted God to smite them. Jonah didn't want them to repent. Jonah wanted them dead. But what God told him he had to go and tell them was, repent and you will live. And they did. And they did. You know, Moses was told to go and set his people free, but he had to fight the Egyptian army. With God's help, they won. When God calls us, he never calls us to an easy task. But he never leaves us or forsakes us in the midst of this task. If we can imagine this mystical moment of Isaiah's when he saw God enthroned in the temple, and that the seraphs' voices shook when they did the call and response, holy, holy, holy. When the world was created with the power of the Holy Spirit and the word spoken, if we can believe that this is God, then when God calls us to stand and proclaim that message of hope, that message of love, how can we not say, here I am, send me? Why do we believe the world is gonna win when God the Creator created the universe? When God the Son died on the cross so we could have life and have it eternally? when God, the Holy Spirit, came upon us and empowered us to be a different voice and a different person in the world. When God calls us, it might not be easy because we're going to have to speak God against the powers and principalities of our time. And in big ways and maybe in little ways. Maybe in the smallest way possible. And maybe God's got one of those hands upon you that's that hot kerning coal. And you're going to proclaim it in a big way. And you don't even know it, Christina or Lacey or Matthew or Austin or Cameron. Or it may be even Sarah or Gwen or Bryant or the choir. Any one of us. God can call us out. But God's not going to call us out without equipping us. Jesus came so that the world might be saved. When we say yes in our baptismal vows, we're already saying yes to the God who has called us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we're going to sing as our hymn of response, or we used to call it our confessional hymn or something that would call us to the altar. Here I am, Lord. And every time we go to sing that, I still see Leo Wesley Roy dropping to his knees in the chorus. Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? Boom! He'd be down on his knees at 14 years old. Took him another 21 years to figure out what that meant. But you never know when you're called, and you never know how long it's going to take you to respond.